99. Are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
We have provided Unit 99 of the Sacramento Police Department the tape recorder it carries and the officer in charge, Sergeant Meredith, so that you, who depend on your police for protection, can hear them in action, on duty. And what you hear on this radio program is real. No question about it. The suspects are real. The victims are real. Bear this in mind as you hear these cases.
While we were in the state, I understand there have been 3 211 stick-ups. Two of them in the vicinity of 56th and Fulton Boulevard, and one at 56th and 57th and H. Henry. We're heading out in that direction. I understand that all 3 211s were committed by the same man. See if we can get out there in time to catch some of the action, and let's hopefully pick up the suspect. Fox are talking to the service station attendant. We'll go in and see what they've found out. Detective Oakes, you've talked to the service station attendant. Did you find out anything?
Well, Sergeant Guthrie, we haven't talked to him too closely yet. We've had 3 in succession in just a period of a couple of minutes. Apparently the man is in a car. The description that we get here and the other 2 places are very near the same. Detective Fox is talking to the attendant now at this station, if you'd like to talk.
Yeah, let's go over and see what they're coming up with. Going into the grease room of the service station.
It all happened right out in the island, huh?
Yes, sir.
Then what happened? Tell us, Fred.
Well, he was standing right to this side of the cash box, and he lifted up his T-shirt, and he said, "This is a holdup." And I had the cash box open, and he just reached his hand in and took all the folding money. I don't know exactly how much there was. I believe it was just the 5s and 1s.
What kind of a gun? Did you see the gun?
I don't... It looked like it might have been a 38. And what kind, I don't know.
Just how did he have it? In his belt?
No, he had it stuffed right down here, like inside his waistband here. With just the handle sticking up.
Then what happened after that? After he...
Then he told me to walk to the restroom.
Okay.
And he told me to wait in there 15 to 20 minutes. And I walked in, and he told me to lock the door.
Did you didn't see which way he left then?
No, sir, I didn't.
How long did you wait in the restroom?
Oh, I imagine about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Didn't tie you up or anything?
No, sir, he didn't.
All he said was, "This is a holdup," is that right?
Yes, sir.
About how old would you say
he was? I'd say he was between 30 or 35.
White fellow?
Yes, sir.
30 to 35?
Mm-hmm.
How tall?
Oh, about... 5'9", 5'10".
5'9", how heavy?
Oh, I guess I'd say at least 180, 185 pounds. Possibly even more.
Heavy build, in other
words. Yes, very stocky.
What color hair?
Brown.
Brown hair?
Medium brown.
How was he dressed?
He had on a white T-shirt, a pair of Levi's. Rather, he didn't look sloppy or dirty. He had... Short haircut.
No hat?
No hat.
Glasses?
No.
Any scars, marks?
I didn't notice.
Didn't notice any. How was the appearance? Clean or?
Yes, he looked fairly clean.
Need a shave?
Yes, he did look shaved.
Do you appear to be drinking or?
No, he didn't. I thought that's the first thing that popped into my mind, but I just... One of his actions. I mean, he made some slow movements, and it just, I just thought he might have been drinking. Mm-hmm. Not heavily, but...
Now, is there anything else that I've overlooked asking you in as far as a description, like scars or marks or anything that you might have
noticed? Well, I didn't notice too closely.
Any peculiarities about him?
No, sir, I didn't notice any.
I guess that's it.
Don, where are you going now?
We're going down there to 56th and Folsom for those other two stations to talk to the victims to get a description.
Call 30 Capitol. Handle the call. Suspect, male, white adult, 30 to 35 years.
Service
tall build, bareheaded, white hair, Levi's, a white t-shirt.
Same guy.
That's the fourth one. Okay, we'll follow you over there to 56.
I wonder if there's any other cars covering that other deal down there.
Well, they'll be closer. The car's closer to town.
Yeah.
We'll cover that one.
Okay. We'll hit this one over here first.
All right, we'll follow you.
Unit 2. Unit 2, 29th and U, Union, at 211 at the service station. Check 2, came in on a 7.
There's number 5. That's 5 in a row.
All units, converge on the area where 211s have just occurred. 30th and Capitol and 29th and U, Union. Check all night service stations.
Apparently, from the descriptions we've got now, they're all by the same individual, and he does have a car, and apparently there possibly is more than one man, and they apparently are going out of town in that direction.
Check 268-284.
Yeah, Don.
I think maybe we'll... Can we come back to here later?
We better
get south of town.
Yeah, let's get out in that area. Maybe we can catch him. We are at another service station, 29th and U Union, where the fifth stick-up has occurred. The officers are inside talking to the attendant. Let's go in.
We checked that district.
Hi, Bailey.
I mean, from just looking at the front of the weapon...
Officer Mihanovic is talking to the service station attendant.
Well, it would have to be an automatic...
I mean, well, what we're trying to determine, was it a revolver or an automatic?
It would have to be an automatic or a toy pistol. I mean, we saw nothing more than the handle.
Just the handle in his waistband, is that?
Just sticking above the belt.
And after he did he take the money out of the till himself?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And where'd he go after he...
I haven't the faintest idea. He asked me to sit down here.
Uh-huh.
And when he got through, he said, "Now, where's the restroom?" And I said, "Oh, around here." And he said, "All right, I want you two fellas to walk into the restroom, and I'll follow you in, go quietly," or something like that.
I see.
So we went into the restroom. He didn't even come in or bother. He said, "I want you to stay here about 20 minutes. And he was gone. About 3 or 4 minutes.
You stayed in approximately, three minutes at the most. Uh-huh. Now, could you give me the description again, see if you left anything out? Did he have any prominent marks or scars on his
face?
Well,
I don't know. When he left, the thought occurred to me that we would have to give the police a description, and I said, "Russ, have you the faintest idea what this fellow looks like?"
Uh-huh.
I said, "He was wearing a T-shirt. Was it denims or slacks?" And Russ said, "Oh, Levi's. I'm sure of that, and a black belt." And I said, "Blonde crew cut hair, stocky build, how old would you say he was?" And Russ said, "Oh, 28, something like that." And I think that would be his approximate age, 28 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
Nice looking chap, no mask.
Mm-hmm.
But this cigarette was stuck up here, I believe, behind the right ear.
Didn't have any speech peculiarities or anything like that?
Nothing that I would have noticed.
Mm-hmm. And at no time he didn't remove the pistol out of his waistband.
Might not even have been a pistol, but
I see.
After all, the place is insured, and we're not going to get some help shot up, we'll go along with the show.
I wonder if you could tell us what happened when the guy first came in.
We had been busy all evening, and we walked in here for something. I've forgotten what now. And I was standing at this desk with my back to the door. And somebody said, "Could I have some change?" And I don't remember now whether I asked him if it was telephone change or cigarette change, but he handed me a dollar bill. And by the way, there's the change lying on the sideboard that we never gave him.
He didn't take his change with him, did he?
No, it was when I got the change out and closed the till that he said, this is a stick-up, buddy, and I mean business. I looked at him and kind of laughed, I think, and Russ is just out of the Marines, and I think he was about ready to take him, and I said, no. So that's about the whole story. He sat me down over here, chased the two of us over, took the money out of the till, walked us into the restroom. Believe it or not, that's my first holdup, and I've been in this business for 25 years.
I have one question here. If you ever saw him again, could you identify him?
I doubt it. Russ and I both talked about it, and I asked Russ, I said, do you think if you saw this chap within the next 10 minutes, you could identify him? And Russ said, well, within 10 minutes, I think I could. Uh-huh. But other than the description I've given you, if you'd line 10 fellas up that would be of that approximate build and in the same clothing, I couldn't tell them apart.
Well, we're going to go back on the air now, we'll make the report on this, and if you'll give us a report tomorrow whenever you can, count the...
Call you, you
no, you there'll probably be someone to contact you later.
When I check out in the morning, I'll give you the
exact breakdown.
That's right.
Fine. Ben. All right.
Thanks to you.
Hi, what'd you find out?
Well, apparently they're all with the same suspect.
Where's the other one now in this area?
There's 30th and Folsom, I believe.
30th and Folsom, that's the other one right close here.
And this one here on 29th. And then there's one just come in on North 16th Street. North 16th and North B, yeah. So they've been on quite an escapade. Boy, and apparently they're headed out of town now.
Let's hope so. After six stick-ups.
We've had enough.
Sure wish we could have caught enough.
That apparently was a bold and efficient bandit. And it must be admitted that he won the first round. In less than 60 minutes, he held up six service stations, obtaining in the neighborhood of $750, and escaped for the time being. His pattern, if he actually had one, was a familiar one. By committing his holdups in rapid succession, he kept the police occupied with one robbery at the time he was staging another. It's a device used frequently by professional gangs, and all signs pointed to the fact that this robber, described as calm and unhurried, was no neophyte. But like all crime stories, this one has a conclusion, which includes some rather surprising revelations. For that, here again is Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith at headquarters.
We're in the station, second floor. We're going into the detective division. Hi, Sergeant Lyons. Did you give us a call?
Yes, Detective Sasuke Mahanovich picked up that stick-up man on those series of service stations back here a couple weeks ago. The boys are here, they can tell you about it.
Over here, oh.
Oh,
Mahanovich.
Hello, Sarge.
What's the dope?
Well, you may recall 2 weeks ago tonight, we had a fellow hold up six service stations in a matter of about 50 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sasuke and I picked him up this evening out of his home.
Yeah, what did he have to say about it?
Well, he readily admitted being the party responsible. Walter Sosky, my partner, has all the information on the details leading to the arrest.
Oh, fine.
Hello, Walt.
Hi, how you doing?
Can you fill us in on this a little bit?
Yeah. Well, about 10 days ago, I got some information from a reliable source, the effect that the person that we arrested this evening may have been responsible for these service station holdups that occurred about 2 weeks ago.
Well, those six,
I think it was six, right. And we went to the sheriff's office, and we were fortunate in obtaining a photograph from them, as this defendant had been arrested on a previous occasion. I believe he was on a check charge. And from there on, it was a fairly easy matter. We looked his name up in a telephone directory, and fortunately it was there. And that led, subsequently, led to the man's arrest, which happened about a half hour ago.
Well, you did a lot of footwork on this. Are you going to interrogate him?
Yes, we talked to him on the way out to the station, and we intended to interrogate him within a few minutes. This afternoon, we've been around checking at the various places that you held up, these service stations, and several people, the victims of these stations, two or three of them, rather, state that you can state positively that you held the stations up. How about that?
That's right, Sergeant.
Then you admit that you are the one responsible for a holdup of these six service stations?
Yes, I do.
Why did you hold them up? What was your objective in holding up six service stations all in one night and in such a short period of time?
Well, it was no objective. It's the same old story. I'm quite a drinking man and a gambling man, and I got drinking and just wanted some money to gamble, so I just held them up and went to Reno and gambled. I left work about 2:30 or 3 p.m. and started drinking then, and drank through the evening till about 9 o'clock, which I went over to this friend's house of mine and got this pistol.
Did you take it or did he give it to you?
No, I took it. He didn't give it to me. I took it without his consent.
You wanted a gun for what reason that night?
Well, I was just drunk, and it just thought come through my mind to get some money, so I thought I'd go hold up the service station.
Can you recall what was the first service station? We have our reports reflect that 5431 Folsom Boulevard was the first one. Can you recall being there?
Yes, I can recall being there, and I don't remember when, in order, the ones I went to, but I just kept driving around. The first ones I come to, I just drove in.
And how did you approach these victims?
Well, I just walked over and had the pistol in my belt under my shirt and just told them, I says, this is a holdup, buddy. I says, just give me your money. That's all. They opened up the cash register and gave me the money.
When you first obtained the gun, did you at the same time get any bullets for it?
No, sir. There was no bullets at all.
Well, after you had held up these service stations, what did you do? Just where did you go after that?
Well, I went downtown and proceeded drinking for 2-3 hours. And I walked down the street, and first taxi I saw, I hailed him and told him to take me out to the airport. And on the way to the airport, I told him to call a private plane. I wanted to go to Reno, which the driver did. By the time we got to the airport, the plane was ready to go, and I went to Reno.
What did you do in Reno?
I gambled all the money away, but the next day, by noon, I was broke.
During these time when you were holding up these stations, did you have a car?
Yes, I did, Sergeant. I had my own car.
And did you, there were two stations that were across the street from one another. Did you park your car on the opposite side of the street, say, from these two service stations?
Just parked the car alongside of the stations. Just walked from one to the other.
And didn't you ever make any attempt to conceal a car or hide it so it couldn't be spotted?
No, I never tried to hide the car. No, it just never entered my mind. I was just in my own car. I just never gave it a thought.
Well, it's rather strange, too, that you should pick on two stations that are adjoining practically one another. Why did you do that? Weren't you a little fearful of being caught easier that way?
No, Sergeant, that never entered my mind. In fact, I have traded. These stations are not too far from my home, I should say several blocks. And I have traded at both of the stations during the daytime. I guess the reason they didn't recognize me was that they had their night man on.
Are you married?
Yes, I am, Sergeant.
Family?
Family man. I've been married for 11 years and have two little daughters.
Mm-hmm. I presume you've been permanently employed, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I work every day.
Well, you've been receiving a pretty good income then?
Yes, I'd say around $100 a week.
Well, that seems quite a good income to be able to provide.
I bring my money home every week, and this particular day I just had about $12, $15 and drank that up, and it's
had the gambling fever when I got drinking. Wanted some money to gamble on.
How do you feel about all this thing?
Well, I wished it was a big nightmare and just a dream. I wished it never had happened. I don't know what made me do it, and I had no intentions of hurting no one. I just wanted some money to gamble with, to drink.
Did you tell your wife about this incident?
No, I didn't tell her for a while. I told her, I think, a day or two just before you picked me up at the house there, Sergeant.
What did she have to say?
Well, she said the best thing you can do now is go down to the police station and tell them what you did and tell them who you are and give yourself up. Try to make amends.
Had you entertained the thought of going to the authorities and giving yourself up?
Yes, I was thinking of it right along. I haven't slept. It's been 2 weeks since I did it, and I don't think I've slept 10 or 12 hours since I've did it. I've been thinking very seriously all the time of coming down. I just trying to get a little courage up, and every time I started to come down, the thought run through my mind how I would hurt my wife and children, and just seesawing back and forth in my mind. I just couldn't quite push myself hard enough. But I intended to really come down because it was prying on my conscience too much, and I couldn't stand it much. I think I've taken my last drink when I get out of this trouble, Sergeant. I've told myself that before, but after this, I'm quite sure that I've taken my last drink, because drinks affect me something awful. Some men can handle it, and some men can't. Myself, it just makes me want to go kind of goofy. In fact, I don't remember half the things I do sometimes.
Well, Sosky and Mihanovich, I know he's been charged, but what are the counts?
Well, we have 6 counts of robbery against him, and there's also a pending charge of burglary concerning this weapon that he used. And, however, we may drop the charge of burglary. After all, 6 counts of robbery, I think, and with this man's confession, should be sufficient.
This is Unit 99 in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Unit 99 was directed by Tony Kester and came to you from Sacramento.
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, 908 coming in. End of tour.
Check 99, KMA 907.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.